When people reject the word, we deny ourselves the understanding and the blessings of God. We deny ourselves that we are in a year of pressing into the blessing. But if we become familiar to the word of God that comes through our leaders, it's like it chokes us off from God's blessing for our life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father, Lord. You know, as I was sitting there, just worshiping the Lord this morning, I hear the Lord remind me of his word in Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, where he says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." You know, God is saying to us as a church today, don't predict me. Don't predict me. I am the God and I change it not, and I move in different ways. You know, I move in different ways. And this year, this is a season for all of us. But the devil is trying to sow anarchy for us to start to predict what God wants to do. And he's saying, don't predict me. Don't look at things and have a belief that that's the way things will go. Be vulnerable around me. I have plans for you. I have the blessings, the words I have spoken over your life and over this church has never changed. I will never change. And he's telling you today, be ready. I am raising an army, says the Lord. And when, if you think about an army, the discipline, the commitment, the focus, I have called you to it. And if you sit here, you're here, you're thinking, oh, I can't manage it. I said, I know you. I know you before you came into this world. I formed you, says the Lord. And each and every one of you, I have given gifts. I have given words. I have given all sorts of things for my glory. Don't play it down. Don't play it down, says the Lord. Don't become familiar with me. Don't become familiar with my ways. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray today that you will open our hearts to receive this word of correction that you are going to give to us. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. We may be seated. You know, the Lord has put on my heart. This is something that's been on my heart for a long time and is really burning. I may not have all the time to say what the Lord has put on my heart, but I will try my best. I want to speak about today how familiarity breeds contempt. How familiarity breeds contempt. And you know, this is something that the Lord has showed me that is rife in this house. And it is time for us to search our hearts, every one of us, me included, to know where we are when it comes to familiarity. What does it mean? You know, when we know someone better, we think, we kind of think, oh yeah, we can find force there. We've become deputy pastors. We've become deputy leaders. We've become people that could, we think we can see things that the leaders cannot see. I'm going to use Pastor Paul as an example this morning. You know, Pastor Paul is very open. You know, he's someone that, you know, as a pastor, he will come into the house, he will work, he will do things, he will high-five you, he will do, you know, things that, you know, wow. But there's a danger there. There's a danger there that when we cross that boundary, we block the ability to receive the word that God has given him for us. It becomes a very, oh, you know, my mate, he will understand. But the thing is, there's a barrier that comes up that stops us from receiving what God has given him for us. Another one, if we know someone very well,
or we become involved in something a lot, then it becomes familiar. I always say, when I lead a team in America, one thing that the Lord places on my heart all the time is, never think I move in the same way. Because I, you know, every Hill for Life, every church event, every Sunday, God has a different plan. God moves in different ways. But when we think, oh, yeah, that's, you know, I kind of understand it. No, we don't. Because God moves in different ways. And again, that is a ploy of the enemy to make us feel comfortable. And in that process, our minds, our hearts are shut down from receiving what God has for us. You know, also in that situation as well, respect of that event of Hill for Life, of our pastors, will begin to degrade. Because then it becomes like, you know what, I'm just turning up because I have to be here. You know, I need to be here. So that's what it's all about. And then we start to look down. We start to degrade. Our manners start to degrade. You know, think about it in a marriage, you know, where a couple are in harmony. But then they start to look at each other like, oh, she will understand. Oh, he will understand. And then before they know it, their attitude towards each other becomes devoid of respect and honor. And then their purpose as a couple begins to go astray. This is the devil's strategy, and we need to be alive to it, that we do not fall into this trap. Any one of us can fall into this trap, because the devil is using these times to try and familiarize ourselves with events and people, and thereby shutting down the ability for us to receive from each other, for us to be able to grow and become who God has called us to be. Amen. You know, when familiarity breeds contempt, it is a great disadvantage to us. We could, you know, I'm sure you've heard about this story about someone that it comes to church, has the same seat, you know, never moves from there year after year, and doesn't do nothing, just, you know, this is my seat, and they'll fight you for it. Familiarity. You know, one thing that I've learned in the police service, you know, I kind of see how you don't get familiar with your sergeant. You don't get familiar with your inspector. It's sir, ma'am. You know, in the military, in my work, I've had opportunity to go to military barracks to see how they work. They've got an officer's mess, and they've got the NCO's mess. People might look at it and say, oh, why are they not mixing together? How will you take instruction from someone that you high-five with? The devil will not tell you, oh, you're my mate. You even want to talk to them in the middle of a battle. That is defeat. That is how people lose. That is defeat. I had an incident the other day, not an incident, but a situation the other day where I've got a new manager, and he's trying to get on, you know, with everybody. And he said to me, oh, I came in to have a chat with him. I said, oh, Terry, come in, have a seat. And I said, oh, no, Sarge, I'm happy where I am. And I heard in my voice say, this is my position, so I can be able to take instructions from you. Because if I start, even though he's a very open person, very happy, he wants to get along with people, there has to be that boundary. I cannot get familiar with my boss. Because if I get familiar with my boss, when he now comes to me giving me a lawful order, I might start to think, and that's the devil, and it can affect anybody. Even with the discipline that I have in my life, the enemy will say to me, oh, but you have coffee together, so why would you want to listen to, why would you, look at the way he's speaking to you. Don't you think he's unacceptable? That's why there has to be that place. That's why there has to be that line for me to be able to receive from my superiors, from my bosses at work. And then that's why we have to be very conscious of how we relate with one another, so that we are not cut short from our destinies from God. Amen. 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 You know, I call it the creepy, slimy, slippery, slimy spirit that unconsciously degrades our divine relationships. Wow. I want us to look at Christ's ministry, Jesus Christ's ministry. He experienced it big time. I want us to look at Mark chapter 6, verse 2, from the New Living translation, and I'll begin to read. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They were like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Wonderful word. Ooh, they were buzzing with the word. And then, where did he get all that those wisdom and the power to perform some miracles? Familiarity. At first, they were amazed. Wonderful. When our pastor preached the word, everybody goes, yes. And then subconsciously, the enemy tries to steal the word and start to kind of say, oh, is he not the same person that I see? Is he not the person that kind of plays around? Where has he got all that from? So at first, they were amazed. And then they became deeply offended by it. Because they started to degrade. The devil took them back and they started looking at the person and not the word. And they started thinking, how could he have those words? Where are those coming from? And that's how the word is like on a is released on a stone. It's like water on a stone that doesn't go in. I want us to look at Luke 4:22 in another version. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can that be? They asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? They are now trying to relate him to the carpenter, the son of that man that is nothing. So how can he have what he has? That's impossible. Let's go back again to Mark 6 and verse 3. Then they scoffed. Ha! He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon. There you go. Now they're trying to now link him with the family that they all know. What is he? He's just one of them, the carpenter's son. They were deeply offended, and they refused to believe in him. The word, you know, these familiar spirit can stop us from receiving the word. Imagine how it would have been on that day in this gathering, where wisdom that would take them to where God wants them to go to is being cut short because of the familiar spirit. Let's have a look again at Luke 4:23-38. And we'll see how they became angry and they were challenging his thinking. Then he said, you will undoubtedly quote me this proverb. Physician, heal yourself, meaning do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Certainly, there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time. But when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine, devastated the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, but only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue became furious. A prophet is never recognized in his own hometown. Wow. When we have guest speakers here. The church is full. People are coming. People that you've never seen before for months. And you kind of think, oh, where are they coming from? Oh, yeah, they've got wind that Prophet Nana is coming. And they all come because they feel there's something that is going to be completely different from what Pastor Paul or Pastor Joe or the pastors in the house would preach. Yeah. Or they feel, well, I like this. When Pastor Paul preaches, I like what he preaches because it's that I like. But Pastor Joe, nah, it's a bit, you know, always healing. What's this healing about? I'm healed. It's a familiar spirit. It's a familiar spirit. It's that lack of respect. And that this was playing out big time in Christ's ministry. Now, their familiarity led Jesus Christ to say, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Capernaum. Now, I've had the privilege of going to ministries with Pastor Paul and Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe more recently with Healed for Life. And I've seen the way God uses them. For example, I remember Ghana in 2009. And then we came back here and I'm like thinking, gosh, why is it so different when they preach in the house? Because the people are more open to receive. There is an open spirit. There is no, it's like, tell me. Prophet Nana used to say, you know, there's a way he used to say, I inject it, I'll swallow it. You know, it's like they're very hungry. They want to take it. They want to inject it. They want to receive it. They're not kind of in two ways of thinking, how did he say it? How did he speak it? Oh, well, I feel offended because I think he spoke to me. I think that word was me. Somebody must have told him about me. The people are open. They are hungry. I remember before the beginning of the service, the whole place is filled up, even the overflow. Hunger, desire. They're not looking at God, you know, maybe I know the way God will move. So what happened yesterday will happen today. No, they believe that day was a new day and God had something new for them. And they were seeing the man of God as the carrier of God's word, that he has something for them and not something that they have seen before, not something they can recognize. Same thing. You know, when I've been to the States with Pastor Joe, the hunger, the desire, people, we're having to try and wrench away from people at the end of the day because people are hungry. They want more. They want more. They're not settling. Even the sessions are not enough. They want to hear. You're trying to say to them, let's go to bed now. Tomorrow we're starting early again. People are not wanting to do that. They want to remain in the presence. They want more. Because they chose not to be familiar. I want to talk a little bit about my relationship with Pastor Joe. She may not know this. But when she asked me to lead the prayer ministry for Heal for Life, I said to God, God, how, please, God, show me how I can stand in the gap for this woman. Show me how I can serve your servant. Show me how I can, you know, it's like whenever she speaks, it's like, yes, there is no, any familiarity. I mean, I've known them for over 20 years, but any familiarity, let it, break it away from me. Make me, season me, prepare me. Take away anything that will make me think I know. Let me not know. On each and every time, let me be a novice. Let me be a novice at all times. And the Lord gave me something. He gave me something that I really value. That when I'm able to connect to our spirit, when she's preaching, I am watching. The Lord is speaking into my heart. The Lord has given me the ability to understand the requirements, to understand what the what his servant needs at the time. For example, she might be wanting the books to be brought to her because she wants to show people what to read and things they need to do. Just being able to connect and knowing when to pray and stand in the gap. And that is what and it's not something I rest on and say, you know what, I've got there. No, it's something that I have to do consistently in order to be in that place so that familiarity doesn't take over me. We need to search our hearts. You know, in this situation that I mentioned about Jesus Christ's ministry, when people reject the word, we deny ourselves the understanding and the blessings of God. We deny ourselves that we are in a year of pressing into the blessing. But if we become familiar to the word of God that comes through our leaders, it's like it chokes us off from God's blessing for our life. You know, Elijah in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13, Elijah recognized the still small voice. In fact, let's look at it. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. When the wind, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And that's where God was. Now imagine if Elijah was familiar with the Spirit of God. He wouldn't hear God. He wouldn't hear God. Because God moves in different ways. God hasn't got a pattern. And we need to plug into the God that can speak to us in different times. I'll give a little example. My wife, you know, she likes waking up at 2 a.m. because she believes that God speaks to her in the middle of the night. I sleep. And then she goes out last night, and then this morning she says to me, "You know what? I sat there and I didn't hear a thing." And I went, "Oh, it's something we've been talking about." I said to her, I can sit like this and I'll hear God speak to me. You know, but she has this thought that or believe that she's got to be, it has to be at a certain time of the night, and God speaks at all times. Yeah, it doesn't have a specific time. But when she sat down last night, she didn't hear a thing. So she was kind of worried about, "Oh, what am I going to do?" Because she was leading prayer. And then she went into the bathroom, and the Lord gave her bang, 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 what she's going to pray about. And then she comes in and she says to me, "Love, you know what? You know what you used to say about, you know, God can speak to you. You don't have to have this certain place and certain time, that God can do it at any time. You look at what happened to me." I said, "Yeah, there you go. You've become familiar with God, my love, that he does things in a certain way." Amen. You know, Elisha could never have asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit if he was familiar with him. There's no way he would have done that. Yeah, if he was looking at him, hey, mate, high five, you know, hey, what are we doing today? Oh, hello. That would not have happened. He served him very disciplined. He followed his instructions and he was hungry. He was determined. He was disciplined, fervently, holding on. And that's why he, oh, a double portion, please, give me more, not one, double. Gideon, you know, when God said to Gideon, take the men to the water, and those that stoop down to drink, and those that kind of, you know, those that stoop down, separate them, and then from there you will know who are the ones that will go to one, win the battle. If Gideon could have thought, you know what, what's God talking about? If anybody goes to the water and want to drink in it freely, that's got nothing to do with winning war. It's got nothing to do with it. He wasn't familiar with God because he knew that God wants to do things in a different way. He wasn't. You know, when Christ raised 12 apostles, he did not raise 12 mates. You know, God raised 12 apostles to go out into the world and bring the message and win souls. It needs preparation. It needs discipline. It needs being focused. And that is what the Lord was telling me about us in this house. He is raising an army. He is raising an army. And when the familiar spirits came up, when Peter became a bit emotional when Christ was dying and he wanted to, you know, use the weapon, God stopped him. Yeah, don't try and... I don't need you to be my bodyguard. I'm here to do what my Father sent me to do. I don't need that. Pastor Paul doesn't need a bodyguard. Pastor Joe doesn't need a bodyguard. We need to know our place. All the leaders that God has placed in this house, we need to know how best we can serve them for the purpose, for the destiny, for what God has put into their life to come to pass. That is our responsibility. Can I, Anna? Thank you, Jesus. I want us to rise up in this place. You know, Psalm 26, verse 2 says, examine me, O Lord. Try me, test my mind and my heart. This is between you and God. You know, this spirit is not one that we can take for granted. It is one that we need to look into our hearts and ask the Lord, what is it in me that can stop me from receiving your word? And I want to ask you, I've got a few questions in my head that I want to put to us, and you don't have to answer, but I just want you to, you know, just think about it. How is it for you when you hear the word Heal for Life? Do you feel, oh, I've done it many times and it means I'm healed? I don't need it. I'll try and speak to other people because they need it. I'm in a better place. How is it for you? How is it for you when our pastors challenge us? You feel challenged by their words. Do you feel this in your heart? Ugh, I don't like that. Why did they speak to me like that? They need to show me respect. I can't accept it. How is it for you? How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel when you hear tithing? Oh, we're living in a pandemic. I haven't got a job. Money's tight. And every time it's about giving. How is it for you? How is it for you when you hear when you hear something and you feel in your heart, it's like, again. It's time to give it to God. It's time to just say, God,
touch my heart. Search me, O God. And if there's anything that is not right within me, deal with it. I want you, Lord, to reign in my life, reign in my heart, reign in everything that I do. Honor those that God has put in my life. Divine relationships. Divine relationships. They are for a reason. They are there to build us up so that we can become who God has called us to be. Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for everyone at the sound of my voice this morning, Father. I pray, O Lord God, that this word this morning will be like a seed into their hearts, that they will search themselves and they will take every action that you want them to take in order for them to be ready for you in every assignment that you have given us, Lord, in this house. Let nothing block it. Any concern, any issue of the heart. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have in this house through the ministry of Heal for Life. And we ask you, Lord God, that you humble our, we humble our hearts and break every sense of pride so that we can be usable by you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.